Good evening to our guests and our friends who are with us tonight. As always, we are honored to be in your presence. We thank our God that you have made the decision to come to the Southeast Church of Christ, thus with your presence showing us that vote of confidence that here we are defined by our God as true worshipers. To our brethren, again, as always, thank you for being here. It is always a joy to be here, to gather together this evening as saints, to bring forth God our honor and our glory, to give Him praise and glory. Please open your Bibles to the first letter of to the Corinthians. The first letter written to the Corinthians, chapter 2. We will be gleaning our lesson from verses 1 through 5 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in such trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Holy Father and our beloved Father, thank you once more for the life and for the opportunity that we have to call ourselves your children, to know that we are citizens of thy spiritual kingdom, and to know that we, Father, are undeserving of such special privileges, but yet, because, Father, of thy Son who gave his life in propitiation for us, we now, Father, can have that great honor to say that we are thine. Father, as we've been studying about thy power, thy authority, as we've been establishing the authority of thy scriptures, please, Father, allow these lessons to resonate in our minds, to permeate our hearts, that we, Father, may allow thy word to continue to reframe our mind, to renew our understanding, and that we, Father, may turn away from our sins, that we may turn away from those things that are displeasing in thy sight, and that as we lay aside all the filthiness, Father, we may then learn how to emulate thee and how to follow the example of thy Son, who was obedient unto death and the death of a cross. Father, that we may have the same love, the same devotion of giving our lives entirely over to thee. For we know, Lord, that they are not in better hands than in yours. For we, Father, were not able to do wisely with them with our own hands. Thus, Father, we ask that you be with our friends who are hearing the voice of thy servant tonight, that they may be diligent in searching thy scriptures, that they may be noble-minded, and knowing, Father, that it is thy word that is sought to be taught, and that, Father, all honor, praise, and glory may be thine and thine alone. Once more, forgive us for our sins, for we pray this in the precious and mighty name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Masterful swordsmanship. According to history, it is said that to wield a sword from the samurai was to show that you had learned the mastery of swordsmanship. It was, as you, if you will, the equivalent of the black belt in martial arts. It would take many years of training, many years of rigorous preparation before a samurai who was still learning how to wield his katana would be able to actually transition from a wooden bamboo stick known as a katana, or known as a kendo stick, excuse me, into the actual katana sword, the katana blade that was their mark, their trademark of honor and their very renowned Bushido code. To wield a sword on the behalf of the samurai once more was to show and to prove that you had been and you had completed successfully the discipline of how to use that sword efficiently, precisely, without hurting yourself or unintentionally hurting others. Brethren, we are concluding our series of the authority of the scriptures by understanding that the Bible teaches us in several places that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And indeed, this is a weapon. It is a weapon that, as this morning we were able to see, is indestructible. It is a weapon that God will not allow it to be corroded, nor its blade and its effects can be reversed. And therefore, we were able to establish that indeed this sword was forged in power, because he who forged it is powerful, and he who forged it is perfect, as in flawless. But in the evenings, in the latter part of this series, we were asking the question, how did the apostles approach the scriptures? How did Jesus himself approach the scriptures? And we were able to learn how they were able to approach it with reverence. They were able to approach it with much hope. They were able to approach it understanding its power in order to save, to preserve, and to protect. But thus we conclude this series this evening by asking the question, how should the church today wield this power? Because today this sword has been placed in the hands of every Christian. Today we have been given this power, and we, along with it, have that responsibility to use it efficiently, to learn how to cut with it precisely. Because we, brethren, must understand that the Word of God is not to be used for our nefarious purposes or our own selfish gain. The Word of God is meant to be used to remove those webs that tie man by sin. It is our purpose not to cut off limbs of those who are tied and ensnared, but to cut off the ties and the ropes that are snaring them as best as we can without damaging or hurting the soul. Because our mission is one of rescuing souls, not pushing them into hell. Our mission is one of salvation, not one of damnation. And this weapon is what God has given us for us to be able to use to go out and save and cut the ties, break the chains, remove the shackles from those who have yet to be freed from sin. Notice how the Apostle Paul, who is a master swordsman, speaks and demonstrates his skills. And notice in these five verses how the Apostle Paul always makes mention of one thing. He was not responsible for his own mastery. He learned it from God. He received his skills from God himself. The same blacksmith who forged this weapon in power is the same swordsman who teaches us the right way, the proper way, the godly way of wielding such a mighty weapon. Notice here in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians how the Apostle Paul begins by saying that whom he determined to know was not man, but rather Jesus Christ. Brethren, when we begin, we must understand then that it is from Christ himself, it is from God himself that we must learn and we must be trained by him in how to use this weapon. We must learn how to imitate those patterns that he uses, that we must follow so that we can learn how to be able to use the balance and fit it correctly within the palm of our hands. Observe that the Apostle Paul once more says, verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Jesus on the cross was able to effectively use God's word. Remember that Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecies. Remember that Jesus was the one who understood what his purpose was here on earth. When Christ spoke, it was never without "it is written." When Christ spoke, it was never in violation of God's will. Everything was always in accordance to the proper context with which God had spoken his word. You see, what Paul learned from Jesus as he began to master the skills of swordsmanship is what you and I must also learn from Jesus in order to master our skills with the sword of the Spirit. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And there in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we see the first point of our lesson. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. The first thing that you and I must learn, brethren, is to respect this weapon. We must learn to respect the sword of the Spirit. Because if we grab it and we treat it as a toy, if we grab it and we treat it with the disdain or the disrespect of it not being as dangerous as another weapon, we can hurt ourselves. And we can hurt others. And the danger is that if we, brethren, begin to add or to take from it and to the way that God has commanded, many times those cuts can be permanent and they can be lethal blows. Notice once more verse 1, why we were to observe the statutes and judgments as God had commanded them, that you may live. You and I, brethren, must respect the Word of God. We must have the reverence for this weapon. We must approach it with much caution. Because it is once more very potent. It is very sharp. We see, brethren, that God's Word has the power to save man from sin. But it also has the power to judge man and condemn him to eternal damnation. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 40 and forward. Christ often said, I do not judge you, but the words which I speak, they shall judge you on that day. The same weapon that can save us, brethren, will also be the same weapon that will judge us, that can destroy us on that fateful day. When we read there in the scriptures, in the book of Revelation, where it demonstrates Jesus coming in glory and coming with full power, when he is to speak against his enemies, the Bible says that he was going to destroy them with the sword of his mouth. That is in reference to the Word of God. That is in reference to the sword of the Spirit, because it is through this Word that our God will judge us on that day. Hence observe, brethren, that the first thing you and I must learn when we read that we are not to add, nor are we to take from God's commandment, that is reverence. That is respect for this mighty weapon. You see, God who forged it is the one who knows how it works. He's the one who is capable of teaching us how we have to use this sword without getting hurt or without hurting anyone else. I bring to my memory an occasion where I had to tell a certain member of the Lord's body that they needed to be careful with using scripture, not knowing how to do so properly. The reason I said this was because they blurted out a passage out of context, trying to justify their actions. Trying to not only justify their actions, but in accusation of someone else what they deemed as sinful. But they were in error. They were the ones who were on the border of committing sin. And I never forget my warning to them, beware that you are not wielding this sword wildly and it ends up cutting you when you're trying to cut others. The Bible is not a toy, brethren. The Bible is not a suggestion. The Bible is not like any other book. We must respect its word. We must wield it correctly and responsibly, and we must learn to use it efficiently in our lives. The reason why so many in the world today, brethren, are being lost is because they do not respect the Word of God. They do not respect the Bible as the mighty Word of God. They see it as a book full of fables. They see it as a book full of suggestions. They see it as a book that is outdated and no longer efficient. Hence why this morning we were able to see its indestructibility, its irreversibility, and its incorruptibility. Because the Bible is none of these things. Those false teachers and false prophets that we've been studying about on Wednesdays, they treat the Bible as if it were their own personal toy. Some have the Bible as if it were nothing more than a jewel that sits in their jewelry case, as a trophy that they can display to others. But the Bible is neither a trophy nor is it a toy. It is a weapon that has been given to us so that we can use it in our personal lives, so that we can lay aside all the filthiness that with it we cut from our hearts. So we see, brethren, that the first thing that you and I must do as we approach the Scriptures, in our approach to the Scriptures, is that we must approach it with respect, with great respect, and with reverence. Because it is the Word of God and not the Word of man. Because if we don't, we will die. We will die by the sword. But we also then must understand, brethren, notice that the Apostle Paul not only understood from whom it came from, and he respected it, but he learned from that master, and he did so with great diligence. I did not come amongst you, I did not want to know anyone except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I did not approach you with the excellency of speech of human wisdom, so that you may not be reliant on human wisdom, but that your faith may be in the power of God. Paul, brethren, learned to strike, to move, and to imitate God. He moved as Christ moved. He spoke as Christ spoke. He wielded his sword in the direction that Jesus would teach him to move. He became a mirror of the Lord Himself. And he moved just as the Lord instructed him to move. Go with me to the book of Galatians. The letter written to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. And we'll begin at verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice that Jesus, brethren, was the master that Paul had. Jesus was the master swordsman who trained and prepared Paul in the art of swordsmanship. And because of it, observe that Paul was able to spot and he was able to identify some false teachers who claimed to have been learned from Christ. Men who did not respect the sword of the Spirit. And therefore they were the kind that were claiming that their style of teaching and that their style of swordsmanship was superior to that of the very Creator Himself. But Paul, he did not do so. But instead, he learned from the Master. And he taught what he learned from the Master as he received from the Master. In other words, He practiced daily. He practiced what he was taught daily. Because Paul understood practice makes perfect. He was not negligent in his training. He was not negligent on using the sword as God had taught him through his son. Notice that Paul says in verse 12 that he was taught directly from Jesus Christ. He also clarifies that the gospel which he was preached to them by him did not come from human mentality. It was not by Peter that he had learned. It was not by Ananias, and it was not by John or James or Apollos or Barnabas. But the Lord himself, the headmaster himself, taught me how to wield this sword. He taught me how to maintain it. He taught me how to sharpen it. He taught me how to use it with precision, cutting precisely where I need to cut. And day by day, Paul, brethren, practiced and trained what he had learned from Christ Jesus. You know, this coming weekend, if our God allows it, I will be preaching at a Spanish conference, at a Spanish lectureship. And many times I've been asked, why do I usually try to only take these events that are in Spanish? And there are multiple reasons why. But one of them is because I do not want to lose my Spanish. I do not want to lose using the language that I have known my whole life and along with the English. This is the same reason why when I study and prepare, I study in Spanish and I prepare in Spanish. It's not because I want to show off, and it's not because I want people's recognition. Quite simply put, I don't want to lose it, therefore I practice it. And I make sure that I keep practicing it because it has proven to be valuable to me out in the field. Those of you that have gone with me to Door Knock have seen that when the person who has opened the door, I immediately identify that they perhaps speak Spanish. When I speak to them in Spanish, they brighten up. And hence why I see the value of still using, of still training this skill, of honing it and keeping it so that I can make sure that it is always as sharp as it always has been. Paul, brethren, was able to identify false training. He was able to identify faulty training, dangerous training. And therefore, he did not do anything other than what he had learned from the master himself. He did not follow any trendy training. He did not follow any popular or famous training from other men, because Paul knew whom he learned from. He knew that he didn't need more than what Christ had taught him, and he knew that he didn't need less than what Christ taught him. But he also understood that because he did not want to lose what Christ had given him, he needed to use it every day. No matter how repetitive it might have become. The more you do it, the more you follow the routine, the more you train, the easier it becomes not to forget. I'm going to make a small parenthesis here. Here's why it's valuable to memorize the scriptures. Because really, memory is how we learn. But once more, notice, brethren, that Paul trained daily. Paul practiced daily. If we want to be master swordsmanship, if we want to master the art of swordsmanship, we have to train every day. We have to be able to emulate and imitate the examples of like men like Paul. Men like Epaphroditus, that teaches us in Philippians chapter 2 that his example is worthy of noting. We have to learn to follow the example of those godly men that are within us and among us, of those godly women that are in our congregation. We must learn to imitate those godly examples and do as they do and walk as they walk, as we read there in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and forward. Notice that the Bible teaches us, brethren, that the patterns that we must follow always go back to Christ Jesus. Because those godly men and women who have proven to be skilled swordsmanship, they have learned from Christ. And they imitate Christ. And that's why when they wield their sword, they remind us, or should remind us, of Christ. Thus we, brethren, must learn to train daily. We must practice with this sword. We must hone our skills and grow in our use of it, in our mastery of it. But once more, observe that the first point isn't available, the second one won't. Because the only time and the only reason why we would take the time to devote ourselves to using the Word of God, which we learn from the Son of God, is if we respect it. And it's if we revere it. But then finally, brethren, if you will, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted the Lord, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We must have a desire to learn. We must have a desire to want to master those skills. We must have a desire to want to grow in our mastery of swordsmanship. Paul had a great zeal for the Word of God. Paul was never satisfied, and he never considered himself to be finish until he was. Only once do we read Paul actually make the bold proclamation, I have reached the end of my career. And indeed, if we are to accept the historical tradition, after Paul wrote that second letter to Timothy, indeed his career had reached his end. He had been, as he said himself, poured out as a drink offering. But before that letter, we often read of a Paul who was always hungry to grow. We read of a Paul who believed that he had still had more room to improve the mastery of his skills. We read of a Paul who was never satisfied and always knew, I can still learn more and I can still do more with what has been given to me. There is still more I can build upon what I've already built. Paul had a deep desire. He had a profound zeal for the Word of God. He was never satisfied, and for the apostle, there was no ceiling to be met. Brethren, you've heard me say this before, and I will always say it because it is in accordance with the Word of God. Even our elders must understand that they still can grow and they still can learn. We must understand that even our elders can still grow and they can still learn, even from a newborn Christian. Just because they've reached and been given by the Holy Spirit that honor to serve as elders, it does not mean that they've achieved everything. It does not mean that they've reached their cap, and it does not mean that there's nothing else they can do. Because the day that spirit of complacency, that virus of complacency, takes over them, that day they become disqualified from being elders. No, our cap is in eternity. Our ceiling is in Christ, who made it all the way to heaven, to die, to resurrect, to never die anymore. The Apostle Paul himself told the Philippians, I myself have not been perfected, meaning I'm still alive. And if I'm still alive, there's still things that I must work on. There are still skills that I need to perform. There are still skills that I need to learn and perfect because I am still here. And every day we wake up is another day we work on our salvation. We work on our spiritual growth. We work on perfecting our holiness. But we have to have the desire of doing so. Brethren, that desire must not come in the form that I have so many times seen and witnessed, sadly, in the church. You know, I was speaking to my friend, our brother, who was here from California this morning. And I was telling him that one thing I've noticed is that many times, at least in Spanish congregations, my guess is the same is true in English congregations, is that many times the brothers, the male Christians of the church, misunderstand 1 Timothy 3:1. Many times when we make a call and we ask that we need more elders, that the Lord's church needs more shepherds, When I at least have approached those men who have certain qualities and the others that can be worked with, and I offer to work together with them, you know many times what the response that I've gotten is? Well, brother, the Bible says that I have to desire to be an elder, and I don't have that desire, so I do not qualify. No, that's not how that passage works. The desire to be an elder is the desire to be a faithful Christian. The desire to be an elder is the desire to be a servant of Christ. The desire to be an elder is the desire to serve your brethren. And if you don't have that desire, then you have not understood Christianity. What have you been doing with your spiritual growth? If you have actually been growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you should already demonstrate a desire to want to serve God and His kingdom, no matter what field. But if you claim that you don't have a desire, then you haven't been serving God, you've been serving yourself. Because that excuse is a way of running away from responsibility. It's a way of wanting to now go back on your commitment to God. Because every husband and every wife should aspire to reach that level to be able to serve in every way. That is, in the end, one of the purposes of the Word of God, according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You should have the desire to grow to that level. You should have that desire to want to be that deeply rooted into the Word of God and into Christianity. You should have that desire. Now, whether you qualify or not is a different story. But that desire, that flame, that zeal for the Word of God, for the service of God, it should be in every Christian. In every facet of our spiritual lives, until the day we are no longer in this world. Notice that the Apostle Peter, verse 2, tells us how this desire to want to grow should be. We should understand and we should desire it as if our lives depend on it. And they do. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word. We should not want to eat things that are not pure, that can hurt us and contaminate our bodies. No, we should only want the taste of that which is pure, nutritious, and that will help us develop and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must respect and revere the sword of the Spirit. We must train with it and practice with it daily. But we must have a profound, deep desire to want to grow, to want to become a master swordsman. Brethren, when this is displayed, we, through our godly living, will demonstrate. And that when we wield this sword, we will be able to rescue and untangle ourselves from the webs of sin. But we will also be free to move and to cut the webs, trapping others and save them from death. The purpose of learning and using the scriptures isn't to kill people, but it's to save them and to rescue them from death. This is a good work. This is the greatest work. Hence why the book of Proverbs teaches us that those who save souls are like a tree of life. We must learn to master our swordsmanship. We must learn how to properly use the Word of God. In our own personal application, but also in how we share it with others. Because there comes a point in our spiritual lives, there comes a point in our lives where we, brethren, must not shy away from training and teaching others how to use it. We cannot keep our skills to ourselves. We have to be ready to teach other warriors of the cross how to use this sword. So that when the world sees us, and they see us carrying this spiritual sword, they will know that we are master swordsmen for Christ. That we have been trained by the very best. And that we will cut precisely, but not with the intent of hurting, but rather with the intent of saving. The blessing, brother, that I have, that I can share with you, and I do not do it as boasting, and I pray that you see this. One of the blessings that I've had is when I was at a restaurant with a group of friends from the church. And we were discussing the Bible. Shocker, I spoke about the Bible outside of the worship, right? And we completely forgot that we were in a public setting, and we just got very animated and very excited speaking about Scripture. And I remember that my girlfriend leaned in and she whispered and told me, "Everyone's watching us." And then I leaned in and my response to her is, "The movie is good, let them watch." But what I did was, I found a way to then maneuver it into, or rather transition the conversation into a conversation about baptism and salvation. I took advantage of the opportunity that there were many around us listening, but I kept the conversation between my Christian friends and I. My friends who were newer Christians didn't realize that we were evangelizing as a group. Thankfully, I was once them, and I was trained by a man, by several spiritual men who would do the same. So I had learned from them, and I followed and emulated the example. And the end result, brethren, was two things. One, while I was in the restroom, someone turned around and said to my girlfriend, "That man knows his Bible. Wow, how much biblical knowledge does he have? Where did he learn it?" "Oh, we're members of the Church of Christ." And then two, one of my friends was able to establish a Bible study through that conversation. This is why we need to learn to be masterful, skillful swordsmanship. This is why we have to learn, brethren, that it is an opportunity that when we grow and we learn how to use God's Word as He wants us to use it, it will work. It works. But we have to desire to learn. And we have to trust that it will work. Because I stand before you with love and say, I am blessed to say that God has allowed me the privilege to learn how to masterfully use His sword, but I still have much to learn. And I still have much to improve on. But as the Apostle Paul said, those of us who are mature, let us teach those who are still learning and growing their faith. Our approach to the Scriptures should be with respect, should be with a mindset of training daily, and it should be with the desire of growing daily in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you've fallen behind in your training, if you have forgotten what the weight of the sword of the Spirit is in your hand, if you have lost sight of how it moves and how you're supposed to move with it, and you want to pick back that training back up, but you need our help, you need the guidance of godly men and women who can teach you and help you once more become one with the sword of the Spirit. Tonight you can take that first step as we pray for you. Tonight you can be humble and you can come to God's people and you can say, I have forgotten my skill. I need to relearn how to wield the sword of the Spirit. Or you, my friend, you perhaps have tried to wield the sword of the Spirit, but you keep hurting yourself because you have not yet been certified to actually take this actual sword. You still need to grab the kendo stick. You're trying to use a weapon that in your hands is deadly, specifically and especially for you. Because if you have learned from the Bible and you have been teaching it on your own, but you don't obey it, it is God Himself you are denying. And it is God Himself whom you are disrespecting. But tonight, you can take the first step in proper training. Approach God's Word with respect and reverence. For God, that translates in obedience. We show God that we respect and revere Him when we obey Him in all of His commandments. For you, my friend, that starts with being baptized in the waters where your sins will be remissed. And you will baptize into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as God Himself has commanded in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. And according to Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, you, by doing this, will emulate, you will imitate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you will rise to a newness of life. You will be ready to begin your training with the sword of the Spirit. So, don't you want to begin the training tonight? If there is anyone among us who is in need of either prayer or baptism, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.